Hi, everybody. I'm going to talk about a number of things today. I'm still on the election. You know, we have a major election coming up, especially with the president. But I want to talk about some things that are closer to home. I started on it a week or so ago. Now, in Oakland, they're getting ready to attempt, and they have us voting on it, to charge a grocery tax. And what I'm curious about is because I found out that a number of cities in the country have already somehow the people are paying grocery taxes. And I'm trying to understand this the best that I can. And I'm not doing good at it, but I'm going to do the best that I can. Well, anyway, so far there are four stores in Oakland that are participating in the, they don't want grocery taxes because they understand that it's going to hurt people, and especially poor people. And what I'm curious of is I know Oakland is kind of behind some of the larger cities. I don't know what other cities that are now paying, the people in those cities are now paying grocery taxes. And there are probably a number of cities that are, and the cities felt that they were supposed to do this in order to support you. Well, the city has to have taxpayer money, tax dollars coming in order to pay for the expenses of the city. Well, anyway, I'm looking at that we as a people in these communities, we should unite and talk about this grocery tax, especially when it appears that there's some taxes for non-grocery items that have not been collected and sent to the city for business taxes. And as I said a week or so ago, our elected officials are not stupid. They know that there's more alcohol and cigarettes and things that are being sold that are not accounted for. And this is my opinion now, that this is one of the reasons why we're going to have to pay a grocery tax. Now, I've been doing some research over the past few weeks, and I gave you some information pertaining to a particular store that I'm really monitoring, where they are saying on the receipts, non-taxable item, but they're selling beer and cigarettes. Or wine, alcohol, and cigarettes. And I know this because it was my money. I sent someone to the store, and I have, on a number of occasions, don't ask for a receipt. See and wait if they're going to hand you one immediately. Because by law, that's what they're supposed to do when they're punching in that stuff. When they get through tolling it out, a receipt is supposed to come out to give to the people. Well, we have a number of stores. Unless you ask for a receipt, you won't get one. And then we are seeing where even when we're asked to be given a receipt, what they have on the receipt is a lie. I have a number of receipts here that says non-taxable, and I personally know that it was beer and tobacco that was being purchased. Now, I told you I had four companies that I was going to contact, and I had already contacted one of the companies, got a receipt from them, and they gave me the receipt immediately. As soon as they calculated up, they gave me a receipt. It was I didn't have to ask them for one. And this particular grocery store is in Oakland, because I'm going to be talking about four major ones up until the election. This particular one is on International Boulevard in Oakland, 3851 International Boulevard. And they are against the grocery tax. Now, when you see the individuals, you'll see that they are people of color, the people that I'm talking about, not necessarily African Americans, but they are people of color. And they all have their different opinion. I'm not going to go into each individual one because I'm going to try to work it where I can interview them. But they all have their own opinion of the grocery tax. Now, see, if those of you that have been keeping up with what's going on here in Oakland, you know that they have been talking about this for a while, but they didn't give you all the information that you needed to get. Now, I made a statement a week or two ago that disturbed a number of people. I'm going to repeat that statement the best that I can, and hopefully you'll get the understanding of it. But I have not changed my mind. What I said a few weeks ago was that we have a number of small businesses, corner stores. When I was growing up, it was Chinese that first came into the African-American communities and had the small, family-type stores, you know, in our communities. They weren't on Main Street. They were, you know, in the background in our communities. And previously it was Chinese as I was growing up. But now it's a number of people from other countries that are in our communities selling us groceries, alcohol for certain, because they knew that in the African-American community we drank. So, and people get upset because they decide to sell alcohol. First of all, let me go into business part of it. When the person decides to buy that business, they look at where the money is coming in, and if it so happens to be alcohol, they're going to continue to sell alcohol. That's a part of that business, so don't get upset about them. But anyway, the problem I'm having is that I've received over the past, it's been over 10 years that I have been doing this research, but I didn't stick with it. And I kept some of the documentation, but when I started seeing this grocery tax thing, I understood what was going on. I'm one of those that didn't complain at first. Okay? Now I see the significance of it, you know. They have to collect taxes for those alcohol and cigarette tobacco stuff and pay the city of Oakland, for the sale of those items. But if you keep putting on your receipts that is non-taxable when it is actually a taxable item, now I have a problem. Anyway, I went to one of the, I think I gave you this update. I went to one of the stores, and it was an inexpensive store. The first store that I've done my research on was, which one? One on International. I gave you the address a minute ago. 3851 International. I let them know that I was going to go to the other three stores prior to the election, but I did not let them know what other things I was looking at as far as their business practices were. And in this case, at least he did say it was produce all the way down and the different prices of it. I wasn't going to do a complaint at all and on all because the total price was $14.13, and I bought a number of items, celery, bell pepper, onions. I bought a number of things. Normally, it would cost me a lot more than this at the other big chain stores for what I bought. So I was pretty happy about that. Now, the only problem I had is that I don't know what I paid for, what each item is. All it says is produce. Okay? Now, in the store where they're selling whatever, and they're only saying non-taxable and collecting money. And what happens is we have a lot of people in this neighborhood or the ghetto, sometimes referred to, that know how to count. And they think that they're getting a deal since they're not paying taxes, because that's the game that the store is playing, letting the people know you don't have to pay taxes. So, which it means that your product is going to be cheaper. So, once they have gotten your mindset that way, that you're not going to pay taxes, it is easy for them to put on the receipt non-taxable, and you wouldn't pay it any mind because you think you're getting the deal not paying the taxes. Well, you weren't getting a deal. I used to think that way too, but we're going to have to come into a different mindset here to make sure that the city that you live in is not going to drain you. And right now, grocery taxes will hurt a lot of people in Oakland, especially those that are on a fixed income, low income, etc. They're already having a problem paying for food. And now we're going to add this on to it. I also did some research on I'm doing research in various areas, and I've started back the research on the trucks that are being run. We have carts and trucks, and they're supposed to have licenses and supposed to be inspected ever so often. And if you go to a truck, the information should be there for you to see. And they also are supposed to give you a receipt right away. Well, we in the past had a problem with the trucks all around, and it didn't have nothing to do with whether they gave you a receipt or not. Black folks complained about the Mexicans had control of the trucks, and they don't think it was fair and all kinds of things. Well, anyway, the response of the City Council of Oakland was that they were going to make sure that the trucks that are operating are legal, and they were going to open up some more slots. I think it was 30 slots. I can't remember. But it was enough slots. But if you black folk really wanted to have a truck, taco, soul food, whatever you wanted to sell out of a truck, you had an opportunity to do it. And you had to go through the city process to do so. Now, what I'm looking at as other nations, people from other countries, when they saw that this opening was there in front of them, they jumped on it. We black folk better not complain about no more trucks, carts, or nothing in Oakland because I don't want to hear it. We fussed enough about it, had the city council come up with what I thought was a brilliant, you know, suggestion on it, open up some more slots, make sure those that are in operation are legal, and that they gave out receipts because, yes, the trucks weren't giving out receipts also. They did all of that, plus opened up some more slots. So I don't want to hear anybody black say anything about we weren't able to open up any trucks, the concession trucks that travel all around. And if you had worked it, I worked for Alameda County for many, many years. There was a truck that came on the parking lot in order to sell the county employees food from their vending truck. A lot of people don't realize that it is illegal to vend on the streets of Oakland. You have to be on a lot, and if you are some type of land, and if you go around and look at the trucks that are stationary, you'll see that they're not at the curbside or anything like that. Because we do have people that do that. They're at the curbside selling whatever that they're selling. And they're there for longer than the law allows them. They are probably among the people that are supposed to be moving around, like the cart people. They're not supposed to be stationary at one location that long, according to the ordinance of Oakland. I have no problems with them being however long that they're there, long as they're not creating a problem. They're trying to make money and feed their families. They got a hustle going on. Now, I wish that somehow African Americans in this city will start doing the same thing in starting businesses. Right now, our African-American businesses are being closed down. Now, one of the faults of that is somehow we thought that it is best to go in the business of bars and liquor stores, and many African-Americans did that, including some of our athletes who invested in Oakland. They opened up, you know, bars and liquor stores. I had no problems with that, and pretty much no one did, until violence erupted and all of this stuff. Somehow, around drugs and alcohol, people decide they want to start fighting and shooting and carrying on, and now we don't have a large population of African-American businesses in Oakland when we were predominant in some years back. Now, I know many of you remember what Brown said when he came to Oakland to become mayor of Oakland, that he was going to bring, I believe the figure was 10,000 people to to Oakland to regenerate and have money in Oakland. So he's going to bring approximately 10,000 people in to help us in that way. Most people didn't take it. You know, if he's going to bring 10,000 people in, there's going to have to be 10,000 people who are not productive in this city that have to go. And they had a plan on doing that. We saw it through the housing situation. People weren't able to get low. There's not many slots available like it used to be for housing where you will be subsidized by the government or taxpayers. And once they closed up all of those slots, there were individuals that weren't able to pay the going rent. They needed that Section 8. Well, Section 8 was a good thing for the landlords initially, but the people that received those Section 8 slots had a tendency to not take care of the landowner's property. It used to be the government, out of our taxpaying dollars, would fix up the landlord's property and whatever that tenant did, go on and fix it up. It was happening so rampant all over the place, taxpayers did not want to continue to pay for such behavior. People that were tearing up other people's property who wanted to rent to individuals of low income and receive the upper balance of it from the government. I think it started out where the tenants paid 25% and the government or taxpayers paid the 75%. That's when it was in good standings and just starting. Well, now we have a large population of property owners that don't want to deal a thing with low housing people at all. It has just gone crazy. Now, for those of you that are looking for low housing now and are having a hard problem to find Section 8 and all of those things, I want you to keep in mind that the people before you messed it up for you. Yeah, the people before you messed it up for you. Those same people that you were hearing, I'm getting over on the system, getting over on the government. You will get on a public bus where you will see a lot of African-American elderly people, you know, with the shopping bags, going on the bus to go somewhere up in the hills or somewhere where rich people are to clean up their houses, cook for them, and all of these things, and they're not making that much, but they are taxpayers. And to hear you on a bus system saying that I'm getting over on the government, I don't have to work, I'm not going to even look for a job, you were going to have a repercussion on that, because those very same poor people that are working very hard and have to take the bus to work heard you say it, and they got tired of it. Not only did they get tired of it, who were the struggling poor workers, everybody else got tired of it as well. The taxpayers are paying for your welfare, SSI, Supplemental Social Security, which means that you either have a mental problem or a health problem, or you just don't have enough money coming in to supplement your Social Security because you did work. Okay? And people are tired of working with people that don't have the income coming in. And now we have a dilemma here in Oakland. People are saying the rents are going up, and that's happening all over the world. Now, I'm going to get to those of you that are not self-sufficient that are going to be affected by all of what's going on. You're going to have to leave Oakland if you don't have a job or trying to do something and become a part of one or more of the programs that have been set up to assist you in becoming self-sufficient. If you're not even trying, then you're going to have to leave Oakland. Now, a lot of people decided that they didn't want to go back to school or get any training or anything like that. And now you see that the monies that you were receiving are dwindling down, 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 to whereas the amount of money you're receiving each month is not going to even pay your rent. You were forewarned this many years ago by individuals in this community that came on Sobe and told you what was going on. You chose not to listen to them. So now you're going to have to step up. Those of you that don't have the income coming in that makes you self-sufficient are going to have to start utilizing your rights, exerting all of your citizenship rights. Voting is one of them. Many of the individuals that are receiving public assistance are not registered or voting and haven't. You don't realize that our elected officials can push a button on the computer after you give them your name and address because you have a complaint that you need to give to your elected officials. When they see that you're not a registered voter, why should they even acknowledge your conversation? I know if I was an elected official and find out that you weren't registered voting, haven't voted, don't your name don't show up nowhere, I don't have anything to say to you at all. I'm going to be polite over the phone and whatever, hang up, and whatever it is that you wanted, it will not be done. Because you are not considered a full citizen if you do not exert all of your citizenship rights. And African Americans in this country, not just in Oakland, have a problem exerting their citizenship rights. So what we're going to do, since we are in the middle of an election, we here in Oakland are going to try, there are a number of us, put some things together, get people registered to vote, get them out to vote, because if they don't, the major people that are going to be hurt are poor people, because the laws that are coming out affect them. The laws that have been coming out in the past 15 some odd years was associated with poor people and housing. If you didn't pay attention to it and didn't listen to individuals that were trying to give you this information, now you're stuck. Okay? Change has occurred, and you don't know what to do. So you're going to go through that change cycle, and now we have people that have reached the level of anger They're dangerous. They'll do anything to get what they want, and they'll take it from you. So now we have an election coming up, so we're going to have to get out there and vote for this grocery tax and all the other things that are happening. Now, what I'd like to find out, if anyone out there that's from other states who already have grocery tax, that shouldn't have never happened. We're going to have to get ourselves together, state by state, in order to approach the federal government, because many times we're dealing with federal law that has been passed down to the states and local governments for them to administer. They're doing what they were told by the federal government. What we have to do is go back and talk to the federal government to get them to tell the states and the counties and the cities to do something else with these monies. And if we don't do that, what has happened is going to continue. Oakland is going to have a grocery tax if people don't get out there and vote for it. Therefore, people are going to be paying almost 10% more for their groceries than they generally have. 10% is quite a bit of money for people that are on a fixed income. That's quite a bit of money. And those of you that are not doing the math and seeing how your families are going to be affected by this are going to be the ones that fall through the cracks. You're going to end up homeless, like we have a lot of homeless people out there. We had a number of homeless people that should never be homeless. They shouldn't have never been homeless. All they had to do was talk to individuals, any of them, that would be able to help them based on the information that was mailed to you by the county, state, city, pertaining to, they knew that you were a fixed income person, so they let you know about services that are out there. They knew it was going to come to the time where you may not be able to pay your rent, but you did not bother to go and talk to any of these organizations. Some of them, many of them, nonprofit, and we have lawyers that are pro bono. We even have a nonprofit legal office that works specifically with low-income people that have legal problems. You didn't bother to even go to them. What happens is when it's time for you, you're having a problem, okay? Now reality is hitting you. See, reality don't hit you until it becomes, it hits you. You saw it with everybody else, but it wasn't real to you. But when it hits you, now you want to go and talk to some of the people that you heard about that could possibly help you. Well, they may not have no money. See, what happens when the government sees that people are not utilizing the grant monies that come through here and supporting the organizations, nonprofits in particular, that are trying to help you, they don't send no more money out. That's the way they do. And then depending on the contract or the way that money is supposed to be administered, you may not ever see it again, ever, because it goes back. And when money goes back, money has to go back to the government if it is not paid for certain things. You'd have to send it back. And so when the federal government see that you're sending money back, why would they send even more the year after? Matter of fact, they're going to cut it down to whatever the amount of money that was sent back, and now you have an operating budget that's less than it was the year before. All because there weren't enough people participating in those programs. What do you expect the government to do with the taxpayers' dollars? Continue to send it out there and it's just floating in air, or come back? All the money don't come back. And so we end up having organizations that are trying to stay open, spending over 50% of the monies that they did receive on administration. And that's not how it's supposed to do. The majority of the money is supposed to go to the people. The people are supposed to come in and receive these services. Well, people, you did not come in, receive the services. You chose to be in the state of denial about the changes that's going on. And now, if you're receiving a fixed income, including food stamps, you're going to have a harder way to go, because even your food is going to cost you more money. Now, I strongly suggest that you register to vote and vote. Now, I know that there's a misconception about who can and who cannot vote. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you the information pertaining to California, okay? The ballot is a long, long, long ballot or affidavit for you to complete in order to register to vote. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you an idea of who can vote, okay? Now, basically, the concern I have, you know, you have to be 18 years old, but there are many people who are off parole thinking that they cannot register to vote and vote. Parole means that you're still in jail, really, and they were nice enough to let you out to finish your sentence, your jail sentence. So you're not able to vote or register to vote if you're on parole. But if you're 18 years old, you are a citizen, and things like that, you don't have to worry about registering to vote or voting, because you can. You can't be on parole. Now, that's where a lot of individuals neglect to register to vote, because they figured that since they were in prison and they were on parole and all of that, that they still cannot register to vote and vote. And that's not true. You're off parole, therefore, you are able to register to vote and vote. Now, there are those that are incarcerated that are not convicted as yet, that you may be able to register. We probably need someone that specializes in out there in the prison system, jail system, because there are people that are in jail that can still vote. But anyway, let me give you the basic voter registration on who can register to vote. To register to vote in California, you must be a United States citizen, a resident of California, 18 years of age or older on election day, not currently imprisoned or on parole for the conviction of a felony. And then you can go to the web page that will give you more information. The voter registration's web page, www.sos.ca.gov, and go from there, and you will get a lot of information on who can register and who can vote. Now, you have to have a valid ID, whether it's a driver's license or an ID that has to be issued by the Department of Motor Vehicles. And because they have to verify who you are. Now, if there is a signature on file at DMV, you might be able to work something out there. But anyway, go to that web page that I gave you, www.sos.ca.gov, and go to the question and answer section to get some of your questions answered. And when you do need to register to vote. Now, for those of you that have changed addresses, changed political parties, and things like that, you're going to have to re-register to vote. Best thing for you to do in order to make sure you will be known. Now, those of you that move in between, you're going to have to go to your old poll. Okay. You'll have to go to your old poll or down to the registration office and get everything straightened out. Hi, JJ.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Oh, good, good, good. And I'm sure our listeners are doing well today as expected. So what? I've got some juicy stuff for you today.
Before you go on, I talked to Billy Jones.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. And I'm getting ready to get you.
Where is he?
He's in Detroit. He's doing live television. And we're getting ready to try to do a joint thing, live radio, live television. They're in Detroit. So I'll keep you posted on that. I told him that I was in contact with you and Stan B. And
yes.
and a couple of other Soul Beat family members. So I'm going to try to get something together. Now go on and get your report out.
All right, girl. Listen to this. Now, this first story, but let me make sure that I give everyone again the opportunity to participate in our That's That Bull segment. Call us. Talk about any issue that you have that you think that's that bull. The number is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. Again, call if you got anything you want to get off your chest. So we will be there to listen. I will be there to listen and take your concerns. All right, let's move on to the first topic today. Now, I know everyone out there is familiar with talk show host, Wendy Williams.
Yes.
Okay. Now, she's apparently put her foot in her mouth yet again, and she's always putting her foot in her mouth. Horses got big mouths, don't they? Okay, well, she got herself in a little hot water again by saying that Terrence Howard, and I know everyone is familiar with Terrence Howard by now, he plays yes. Lucius Lyon on the hit yes. Fox TV show Empire.
Right.
Now, she says that hopefully Terrence will be out of a job soon.
Why?
Now she cites that he has been open about his alleged or obviously apparent abuse of women. Now, So she feels that because, you know, he's admitted that he has participated in his past with abuse of women, that she doesn't believe that he should be on the TV show. Okay? And she's hoping that he will lose his job. Okay, all you listeners out there, I'm sure that lots of you are Wendy Williams fans. However, this girl ain't. Wendy Williams is, as you know, I'm sure some of you have seen her talk show. And it show is a talk show because she don't never stop talking. She's always got something negative to say. And I really cannot stand her on-screen personality, especially when it comes to food. Have you seen that girl? How she acts when some a special guest come on the show to cook and all that stuff, and they're making wonderful desserts and meals and stuff, and she sit there with her mouth watering. That is, come on now. Good is good, but you ain't got
that
to be letting everybody see the drool.
Parts I like
see
about
the drool
her.
Coming down your face.
That you don't
know,
like
don't
about her.
See
the things I like about her.
Oh, I Wendy Williams is one of my least favorite talk show hosts. Besides the fact that this is my opinion, so don't take it don't take it wrong. But she looks like a horse. She should not be discussing anything that got to do with food, how anybody looks, how anybody acts. She's very, very unclassy, in my opinion. But that's all I'm going to say about that, because it doesn't deserve to be spoken about anymore. However, like I said, Terrence Howard has admitted to these allegations of abuse of women.
Okay, what type of abuse?
So,
was he beating on women or verbally abusing them, sexually abusing them?
I have no way of knowing. It just, my sources just say abuse, and that is, we all know abuse can take several forms.
Right.
So I'm not sure. It could be one or all of the above, okay? So, but he does admit to it, so she feels that he shouldn't have his job anymore because of that. And on Wendy
what
Williams,
does that have to do with the job he has and doing what his employer wants him to do?
Yeah, first of all, this is actually my first time hearing about these alleged allegations of abuse. So,
okay.
You know,
I've never heard of that.
Who knows where that's coming from? But, you know, she is not, she needs to concentrate on trying to look like a woman instead of be worrying about somebody else. Ooh, she just bugs me. Okay, let's go on because she's going to kill me. Okay. Now, next on my Hot Topics list, I have Jada Pinkett Smith and Will mm-hmm. Smith. Now, mm-hmm. they got a lot of backlash when the couple announced that they would be boycotting this year's 2016 Oscar Award. Okay? Now, first of all, people should know that the actual airing of the 2016 Oscar Awards had reached a 7-year low. So that means ain't nobody interested in the Oscars anymore anyway. And they're still, you know, throwing it down our throat. Well, let me tell you this. Now, Tyrese, I know you guys know Tyrese Gibson from the Furious 7 movies and 6 right. and 5 and 4 and all of that. Well, Tyrese blames Chris Rock. Now, I'm going to say again, Tyrese, I have had the opportunity several years ago to interview Mr. Tyrese. And he is not a very nice guy. I am, I was actually appalled at his behavior and the attitude that he took for being, you know, a B-star. Well, okay. Tyrese blames Chris Rock, and he calls for Chris Rock to step down as the host of the Oscars. Now, according to my sources, that the only reason why Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith have decided to or had decided to boycott the Oscars is because some feel that Will Smith's movie, his latest one, Concussion, it's entitled Concussion, that he didn't get a nod. He didn't get nominated for an Oscar. So there are some that feel that her temper tantrum that she's having is because he didn't get a nomination for that movie. And I didn't see it, so I can't say.
Well, I have. Okay. And
you've seen Concussion.
I've gotten Oscars before, but anyway, go on and make your closing, because it's getting time for us to close up.
Oh, okay. Well, I just had one more quick story for you.
Okay.
Speaking of Tyrese, now, I don't even know if you knew this or our listeners knew this, but Tyrese Gibson and Reverend Run had a show on the OWN network, O-W-N, on the OWN network, and they just recently got canceled after one season of airing on the show, I mean, of being on air. So they get the boot after one season. Now, Tyrese says that the decision breaks his heart. Oh. And then Reverend Run says he just thanks all of his viewers. However, I'm going to say again, I didn't even know they had a show. It's supposed to have been a relationship show.
I don't know. It probably didn't show over here, but if it was canceled, that means that they didn't have high ratings.
Oh, of course.
I didn't know anything about it.
Well, like I said, I'm sure that Tyrese,
Tyrese Gibson
and his questionable attitude, I'm sure that that had some bearing on the ratings for the show, because his attitude is really, really not good, and he should act better.
Close up.
Being such a notable Fast and the Furious star, and such a good-looking man, his attitude is not adequate. So I'm sure that that might have had some bearing on the rating.
Okay, now close down, Bridget.
Time for today. And you listeners, always remember, if the stars got something to say, they better get it from who? Me, JJ. All right then, Cheryl. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
That was JJ's report. I still have a couple of other news people that I'm trying to bring in where we can fit their times together. But in the meantime, I'll get back to the voter registration next week. Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again. I love you.